What if we jazzed up the intro?
Shut up. How do you want to do that?
Welcome! Hello and welcome to the Vela Diaries. My name's Georgie Worker.
And I'm Stevie Hall, and this is our podcast for the cycling enthusiast.
Stevie is here to share his professional experience, and I'm here to ask all the questions. Happy New Year!
2022.
We are on season two of the Vela Diaries. So we had a nice little break. We were originally planning to continue on with the pod while we were away on our holidays, but unfortunately we didn't get there. So we took the 2 weeks and enjoyed some time in Perth.
Yeah, well, I think the last time we recorded, we were unsure. Well, I was still thinking about going. Mm. You weren't going to be able to go because you couldn't do the quarantine. But it wasn't until WA moved Tasmania to medium risk that you would then need an exemption to re-enter WA. So it wasn't that you just needed your GTG pass. So when that kind of happened a few days before I was supposed to leave, that announcement started to make it really tricky. And the problem was that I would have to apply for the exemption to come back into WA on the same day that I was leaving WA.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll potentially get on the plane not knowing whether my exemption would be approved. So it all got really complicated really quickly. And so made the hard decision to not go, which in hindsight was the right decision because now Tasmania is actually about to move to extreme risk. So it's gone from medium to high to now extreme in a couple of days. So it's very likely that my exemptions would have all been rejected.
Yeah.
And I would be stuck there, potentially could have got COVID, which would have made it a little bit longer to get home. So as disappointing as it was, I think I said previously that I've been going for it, like this was my 10th year or something like that. So it's a big tradition for me and I really enjoy going, but disappointed to not go, but it was nice to spend some time at home as well.
We start off all of our episodes with our highlight and our lowlight of the week. These may or may not be cycling related. I will kick off my low. So I went back to work this week and that was obviously a low to get back into it. So hard. I always find it's hard to get back into work after you've had a long weekend, but wow, this was hard. But my high was I did really enjoy my time off. I actually don't think I've ever had leave from work and not gone away. Like, I'm a bit of a traveller. I like to go away and use my leave. So this is the first time I've ever spent it at home. And it was nice. Like, I had no plans. And for those who know me, I am such a planner. So it was nice to just kind of wake up each day and be like, right, okay, what are we going to do today? And of course, we got some lovely quality time together.
I think you inherited that straight from me. You always want to plan things. And I'm like, it's okay to have absolutely nothing planned.
No.
Especially like because the weather was beautiful in Perth and there was some really nice beach days. The wind was going the right way and it was just beautiful, warm weather. Even in the afternoons, normally it gets really windy.
Yeah.
In Perth, it was nice to just hang out at the beach and have days where we didn't have anything planned. And I feel like I actually did get a lot done in that time. Saw my friends, saw my family.
Had a good declutter of the house.
That was a big one.
Yeah,
we did that on New Year's Eve, which maybe that'll be a thing.
Yeah, we saged the house after.
I was saying this to my friend from work, was that, you know, normally you declutter, get rid of old clothes and things like that you haven't worn for a year and you still think that you're going to wear, and then you put it in a bag and then it takes you 6 weeks to throw the bags away, but you were like straight away in the car, took it away.
Yeah, I was like, let's go, it's out of the house. I've got to sage the house with no clutter in it.
Yeah, too bad if I threw out something that I actually need because it's gone forever. But my highlights... I think the time off, for sure.
Definitely needed it. You needed a break.
Yeah, work had been really busy. We had a big sale for the Black Friday sale. We had to move warehouse. I was training really hard in preparation for Tassie. So there's almost a bit of it was hard to not use that form and condition that I'd gained in Tassie without having any races to use it for, I guess. So that can always be frustrating, but I think it gives you also a chance to actually recover. So I got some nice riding in, but I took it a little bit easier. I just did some longer rides with some friends and things like that and enjoyed the nice weather without really feeling like I had to smash myself on the bike. So that was a nice change of pace. And now I guess have to reset for some goals that I have a bit further on in the year. So it is hard to to not have that racing that I would have gotten Tassie, which was a big part of my preparation for bigger races, you know, further down the track. But, you know, it's the way that is. So you just reset and move on. And I guess that, of course, my low light was not going to Tassie, but, you know, we still had a nice time over Christmas and enjoyed the break and feel pretty refreshed for the 2022. So
I got a little update, actually. I don't know if you remember, in our last episode, I spoke about how I'd never been on your bike before.
Oh, that's right.
So we did attempt to do it. We actually tried before we released the last episode because I wanted to have the picture of me on the bike. But I actually couldn't sit on the bike.
You were so confident as well. I knew it was going to be a disaster.
I was like, come on, let's do it. I just got home from work. I was like, get your bike out. Let's go. Let's go.
You came in real hot.
I did. And I was like, okay, hold on to me and I'm going to jump on. Literally, you're not even that much taller than me, but I could not get onto the bike. And then I was having a little bit of a panic while I was trying to stay on it because we live on a bit of a hill. And Steve was like, just go on the road and come down. I was like, I actually don't think I can do this. Just hold on to me. And I couldn't. I couldn't roll down the hill.
I actually think you would have fallen off.
I think I would have. Yeah. So, yeah, little update there. Didn't work out. I never actually sat on a bike with the handlebars down there.
Yeah, a lot of people are intimidated by that. But I think it's important to know that we don't actually hold. It's very uncommon to, like, hold the actual drop part of the bar.
Yeah, like, no, but like, it's because the brakes are there, so I was like, I want to be close to the brakes.
Yeah, but if you hold on the top, like on the hoods, we call them, that you're still able to brake. But yeah, a lot of people like turned off using the like classic cycling bars that we use because it looks strange or whatever. But we don't really spend much time holding that part of the bar anyway.
Yeah. So this week we're going to be reflecting over 2021 and also discussing goal setting for 2022. So Stevie, reflecting back over 2021, what goals had you set and were they achieved?
So the first thing I do with my training program at the start of the year is I kind of highlight the major races for the season. And this was, I guess it's simpler now that I've kind of been stuck in Perth for a little while, but when I was living overseas, it was like I would pick like a couple of marquee races. But while I was racing in the US, especially, I would be there for about 6 months. So sometimes it was like trying to prepare for the whole season where there'd be marquee races within that I wanted to go really well for. Obviously, it's not maintainable to want to be at your top condition all the time. So I would factor in when I was going to have like a period of rest. And then I would always want to have a race when I got back to Perth that I could, you know, would be my first race back. And that's kind of how I would start planning out my goals for the season, is really just looking at the calendar and seeing where certain races kind of landed and what was realistic for me to be able to get to, or what was a realistic race for me to prepare for. So obviously the national championships, I made a decision to not go, and it had been moved several times and then they finally found a place for it. I decided not to go, and if I had have gone, I would have ended up in quarantine because I think 2 days left in competition there was an outbreak in Brisbane. So I've managed to avoid isolation so far, so that in hindsight was really difficult to pull the pin on that and not prepare for it. But I think again I made the right decision with that. So that was an early goal that I had that I didn't achieve, but I guess that's important is to know is that the goals that you set, they're not always achievable, or that you don't always achieve them. And that's, you know, that's not something to put you off setting goals. Is one of the reasons that you set multiple is that, okay, maybe this one didn't work out but some of the others did. So some of the other goals I had throughout the year, I wanted to prepare for the state road championship. I'd missed the last few because it fell at the same time as the big London 6 track race. So that was like a race that I'm quite passionate about. It's an honour to try and win the state road championship. So I prepared for that, and that race went really well. That was in Jarrodale. The Tassie carnivals were a big one for part of my year. Obviously that didn't pan out. But then it's important to note as well is that I had a lot of goals that weren't specifically racing or training related. And some of those were my best friend got married in Darwin, so I wanted to really like fulfill my duties, I guess, as a best man in organizing his box party and kind of just, you know, supporting him all through that. And that was just most incredible wedding and a really incredible holiday. That was right in the middle of the year. I had a few other goals that was I definitely wanted to try and sleep more.
Yeah, I feel like we've achieved that.
I think so. That's directly from you. I function quite well on little sleep. It's one of those things that you don't notice how much difference it could make if you got that little bit more sleep.
I honestly think when I first met you, you were probably sleeping about 5 hours a night.
I think, and I did used to track it a bit more than what I do now, but I think I was averaging about six.
See, yeah. It's still not great.
No.
For how much you do.
Yeah, and I found as I've got older as well, I don't necessarily need to sleep as much, but again, you can't, until you get more sleep and you notice the difference it makes, is that you probably, most of us are probably not sleeping enough. Another one was I wanted to read more, which I always had a passion for reading when I was quite young. It's one of the reasons that I really love writing. So I finally got back into reading and I've been really enjoying that. So that's been nice. And a few other ones I wanted to really kind of progress my coaching company. And one of the parts of that was receiving my Australian or AusCycle coaching accreditation. So I think I'm a development coach level now.
As he turns to look at his certificate hanging on the wall, development coach road and track,
right? So that was actually that involved, like, we did that through Zoom, and it was like a 2-day Zoom course, and there was a big work book that we did, so I was quite proud of that. So that compared with next to my Bachelor of Sports Science, I was really proud of that, and I feel like once I achieved that, then my coaching business really started to flourish from there, and it's going quite well. So I guess the point I make is that not all your goals revolve specifically around training or racing. There's other facets of your life. I think we're all striving to be better people in general.
You kind of failed to mention one really, really important goal that was achieved.
I moved in with you.
That's
probably the biggest one of all.
And so I guess what were some lessons learned from 2021?
For me personally, I actually think it was a really difficult year. I do have a very good memory in terms of looking back on certain years, because I know I can remember the year based on where I was living. Mm. So if someone says, okay, where were you in May of 2015? I straight away know where I was. So I have like quite a good memory of being able to reflect on what years were good and bad. And this year was quite a difficult year, I think, in general. Obviously there was a lot of good that came from it, and that was one of the things when we looked over our goals from, we did this together, we looked over our goals that we'd set in at the start of 2021, and I was a little bit like kind of down in the dumps a little bit, just in general wanting the year to end. And then I looked at some of the goals that we'd set, and most of them I'd actually achieved.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh well, you know, it may have seemed like it was a difficult year, but we still achieved many of the things that we set out to do. Yeah. So it's sometimes important to take sight of that, I guess.
Any other lessons?
Yeah, I think you just have to be able to refocus. I think that's one of the biggest things, is that it's, especially in times of coronavirus, and it's like it's really difficult to plan things back to back, where you might have, you know, I want to do this and then go this.
Yeah.
And then suddenly a lockdown happens or restrictions happen, and one thing might get cancelled and the other doesn't, or both of them might be scrapped. And then I guess for us, we always try and have the next holiday or next something to look forward to. And I don't think there's been too long when we haven't had something, whether it's a camping trip or a small weekend away, or, you know, a bigger trip further down the pipeline. I think if you have something has to be cancelled, something has to be moved, it's really important to just kind of reset and refocus. But you also need to grieve, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
Like you need to be.
Yeah.
It's normal to be upset about something being cancelled, and it's hard to get your head out of the sand, but that's an important part of the process, I guess.
Yeah, and I think TAPS was a good example of that, because like you worked hard towards it, as did so many people. You looked forward to it. There's a lot of planning and preparation. So yeah, you have every right to be upset, but I guess as well, it's taken completely out of your control, and unfortunately we can't do everything we set out to achieve, and that's not always down to the individual. So I guess moving forward, how best to plan for the year ahead, 2022?
I think looking specifically at cycling goals that can revolve around training or racing, I think it's important to try and set at least 2 short-term goals, which can be achieved within 1 to 3 months. And then 1 long-term goal, which is between like 3 to 6 months. You can set more. And again, like I just mentioned before, that I probably had 6 or 7 listed. Remembering that not all of them you will achieve. They're great if you do, but it's one of the big parts of goal setting, is that you're setting realistic goals. Yeah. Is that I can say that I want to have $1 million by the end of the year. It's probably not going to happen. Or I want to, you know, win some big race that I'm probably not going to be on the start line for. So it has to be realistic, and that the point of goals and the short term into long is that that can be your progression into achieving the long term goal. Mm-hmm. Some people just set 1 long term goal and there's no pathway to achieving that, and then it's unrealistic from the beginning. Yeah. So I think with the cycling goals, yeah, it can revolve around a race, or it can revolve around, you know, you want to, if you take away the racing part of it, it can be your power to weight ratio. It can be a threshold test. It can be, you know, you want to do your first 200 kilometer ride, or you want to lose weight so you feel better on the bike, you want to clean up your diet. There's all the different facets within cycling or within training in general that you can achieve. It doesn't have to be just results based. And that's the thing, is you can prepare perfectly for a race, all the training goes well, and then you puncture just before the finish.
Yeah.
Like, you did everything right. And my dad always said that to me. If you get on the start line and you've executed all your training properly, then that in and of itself is a win.
Yeah.
There's so many variables in cycling that it might not go your way on that particular day. That doesn't mean the whole thing is a disaster. You still did all your training, you executed everything that you could, and then it was taken out of your hands. So that's a nice way to be as you're preparing for a big event, to know that you couldn't have done more.
And I guess, so take in nationals, for example, that are in Brisbane at the end of March. So say if that's a goal for someone to go and compete in, what's a realistic goal then towards that? Like, when should someone start training for that?
So I guess to explain the way that I and I guess most coaches, I've coached myself for a long time, and so I use this for myself as well as for the guys that I'm coaching, is that you pick your event and you actually work backwards from that. So when I'm riding my own, or when I'm riding someone that I'm coaching, is I put the event in the calendar, and then straight away I write the taper for that. And that's, to describe that, that's basically when you back off your training and to try and get like a lot of quality in and the right amount of recovery. And that's very difficult to do. Everyone responds differently to taper. Some people like to go into an event and a little bit tired rather than be too fresh. And then other people are completely different. To find out what works for you is really like an integral part of not just cycling, but I guess sport in general, is to know what taper works for you. So when I'm writing a program, whether for myself or someone else, is I pick that marquee event, then I work backwards. It's like a week and a half of taper normally. And then about 6 weeks before that is the really, that 6 weeks leading up is the really hard part of training.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the really good training will be done, providing that you're coming into that block with a very good foundation and base already. So for something like Brisbane Nationals is at the end of March, is that without having Tassie, it's like I didn't get as much form, I guess, what I would have liked from the racing, but I was in good condition. So it's almost now I have to actually back it off, which I did do over Christmas, and have a bit of a break, because I can't hold that. It's not realistic to try and hold that for 3 months. So I have a bit of a lull now. Even though I still might race locally, I'm doing enough to get by. And then as we get closer through February and definitely through March, that's when my training will really step up a level. And that's a lot of double sessions. That's spending a lot of time on the track. It's a lot of time in the gym. And I really haven't kind of ticked into that until since early 2020. So a lot of the training that I've been doing is enough to get by locally. But then when you're looking at national championships and beyond that, that's when things kick up a notch. And the training hours go up, and that's when you're really wrecked at the end of it, each session. And I enjoy that process, and I'm looking forward to that part of it. So,
and I guess with that then, so if someone is going to enter in their events, they can do that through Training Peaks, and then they just plan back, or they work that with their coach, and then they just set out for the whole year.
And that's what I try and get my coaching clients to do, is put in their races that they, or the one that they're available for, that they can attend. And then when I know what they are, then I can work backwards from that. And some people just want to set one race, one goal, and then they don't race a lot into the lead up. They want to just execute that one event. Whereas other people, and I'm included in that, is I want to race as much as possible leading into the big event that I'm preparing for. I get a lot of motivation and morale through racing, whereas some people don't like to race in the lead up. And so again, it's personal preference, but I judge how I feel in an old school sort of way by how well I'm racing. Some people do that a little bit differently. They don't like to race as much. They prefer to train. And again, that's personal preference. So.
And I guess we've kind of said it a little bit already, but what are some tips to stay accountable? Obviously, you're saying writing it down is important. Have it out there in front of you, I guess. Coach.
I think literally write it down in your own handwriting. I think that's, and stick it somewhere that you see. It's one of those things, like if you tell someone to keep a food diary because they want to lose weight, it's like they will naturally end up cleaning up their diet because they don't want to write down the bad, you know, like the snacks and stuff that they're eating. So they kind of eliminate through that process. Is that if you've written something in your own handwriting and you see it every single day, then it's in the forefront of your mind. It's not just an idea. And then you've made it accountable. And that's what I've done just with my coaching clients just before this podcast is literally put it into Training Peaks, be list your goals so we can both see them and we can both work towards them. So I think for most people, it's start off with those two short and one long, and then look at other facets of your life that you would like to improve. You know, whether that's, you know, sleeping or reading or spending more quality time with your partner, whatever it is within that, make more time for your family. That's going to be individual to you, but don't make all your goals just revolve around cycling and training, because you'd be very one-sided. You might be a very good bike rider, but that's all you would have achieved throughout the year. That's probably not the most successful year. I think there's a lot of other things to be gained. And then you can, you know, you might not achieve one in particular, but you achieved a lot of life goals.
Something I did the previous year was actually I wrote my goals out and put them in a photo frame, like a picture frame, and I put it on my wall. So then every day I had it there in front of me. That was the year I met you. So I put like ocean swim, and because I wanted to do my first ocean like race, not just go for a swim in the ocean. So things I wanted to achieve that year. I wanted to do my yoga training, but that didn't happen because of COVID. But like, so every day I could have a look at that frame with my goals in.
I remember the first time I was in your room and I read that, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I should be reading that. But it was kind of in a photo frame in your room.
Right? It's not like dear diary moment.
Well, I think that is one of those. There's definitely going to be goals that you keep to yourself and you protect, but it doesn't mean that you're not striving out to achieve them. It is, you know, it's...
Yeah, yes, striving to not drink alcohol.
Yeah, that's a big one for a lot of people. So many people that I speak to are training really well, and they're like, oh, everything's going well, but I just struggle to lose this last bit of weight. It's like, well, do you drink a lot? And they're like, yeah. It's like, well, start there.
Are you drinking beer?
Yeah, that's the big one, like. And I've had a conversation with quite a few people. It's just that they end up casually drinking a couple of drinks, you know, most days of the week.
Yeah.
And we spoke about this as well, of it being it's not a great way to reward yourself. You know, after a hard day of work, if that's the thing that gets you through, you know, that's not exactly a great habit, I guess.
Mm. Well, we're 5 days into 2022 and we're doing well.
Yeah. I didn't drink as much wine before I met you, but here we are.
Oh, sorry. So, I guess, what are some negative impacts of setting unrealistic goals?
I think it can just be soul destroying if you don't achieve them. And I've used this story before. I had a friend of mine that was just determined that he was going to win the national championship and turn professional, and that was just going to be the way that it was. And that didn't happen. And within 3 or 4 months, he wasn't in the sport anymore. And I remember when he was telling me this, it was like, well, there's no, like, I was like, that's a great goal. And I never crush someone's goals. But I was like, but what are you doing to lead up to that? And he didn't have an answer for that. I remember another guy that I used to train with was convinced that he was going to win the Tour de France, but he didn't like riding for more than 3 hours. I was like, nothing's really, that doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah. A lot of people like I've come across are trying to like, rather than do a 5 hour ride, they want to do a 2 hour ride really hard. And it's like, they're two different things. Yeah. You can't shortcut training. Like I've said it 100 times before, but if you want to be a good bike rider, you just need to train really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter as much with your natural talent, is that if you ride your bike a lot, you'll be a very good bike rider.
And I guess with negative impacts, how do you avoid burnout?
I think you need to, like we said with Tassie, that you need to allow yourself, if you are disappointed by not being able to achieve something or a race that you're preparing for gets cancelled. It's not always helpful to straight away try and, you know, reset the next goal and just work towards that. It's like you need to kind of mull over it for a while, and that's completely fine. But then you need to be able to reset your goals and allow yourself enough recovery within that. I was quite, I guess, bad at this for much of my career, is that I didn't give myself much downtime, and that I would be flying home from a race and I would have my laptop open and I would be planning my training for the next race. And that's not a bad thing as much, because I would try and give myself breaks, but I probably could have given myself a lot more rest within that. If you take a week off the bike when you're really, really fit, you might feel average for 2 days when you start riding again, but you've given your body such a massive chance to recover and heal that within 2 or 3 days of riding, your muscle memory is incredible and you're right back where you were. You haven't gained anything, but you certainly haven't lost anything. I think there's many times in my career that people told me that, and I hate the feeling of being unfit. So I was always just still riding, whereas there's probably times when I could have allowed myself more rest. And not raced as much as, you know, I always wanted to race every single race locally and not have weeks off or not have weekends off to just do something else. So I've learned that as I've got older, but yeah, when you have those recovery weeks, it's important that you actually take them and factor them in.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke about this with the guys that go race in Europe for 6 months and they don't give themselves a couple of weeks rest for the whole 6 months and wonder why at the end they're absolutely destroyed. It's not maintainable.
You also don't want to end up hating the sport either, and that can quite easily happen when you burn yourself out.
I see this a lot with young guys as well, is that they put their whole life and it revolves around the sport. All their friends are in the sport, they work in a bike shop, and every part of their life is tied to that. So you can imagine that it eventually gets to a point where, especially if they have the same routine for months and years on end, that they do the same thing over and over. Monday I do this, Tuesday I do this, blah, 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 and repeats, is that you need to be able to prevent the burnout before it happens and see the writing on the wall, I guess. But sometimes you just need a complete disconnect for a week or two to rediscover why you actually enjoy doing it. Some people get in a habit of, well, I do this because I'm good at it, or I do this because I've always done it. So I think for those people, just try some different things, go on some different training rides, go riding with different people, change up your training, try something different. Mm-hmm. And it can revitalize the sport for you as well, especially for the young guys. I feel like so many people burn out between like 18 to 22-ish because they've been doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we spoke about this quite a lot on our mental health awareness pod as well. Episode 4, I believe that was just talking about like self-care. So I guess, like you said already, like doing stuff outside of the sport. What are some of your self-care routines?
Oh, that's a good one. I think you have to make time for your friends and your family and people that balance you out. Is that you don't want, like, there's been times in my career when I was racing very well, but I didn't have much. Like, it didn't bring me joy, or there wasn't other facets of my life that were going well. I was winning races and I wasn't feeling anything because I was just so one-sided. I was so focused on that. Whereas when throughout my life I've become more balanced with other things that I do, I was much happier in general. And then you enjoy the little victories a lot more rather than it just putting all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. So I think, find people that balance you, or things that make you happy outside of the sport, and then you can balance all of them. It might be, you know, going out for dinner or having a few drinks with friends or going to a movie or something like that. You need to treat yourself, you know, in other ways rather than just when you have a good performance or when you race well.
Yeah, be kind to yourself. And I think as well it's important to maybe mention as well, like, yes, it's the beginning of the year and it's typically the time where everyone sets goals, but that doesn't mean that you only set goals in January, does it? So say like a few months into the year, something else has come up, you can maybe reevaluate your goals, set some new goals and so on and so forth. It could be like a quarterly thing, it could be just whenever you need to.
I don't think I ever told you this, but I kept a diary for such a long time. I think I started when I was 16. I kept a diary forever. And I would actually write myself notes in the future. Did I ever tell you this?
No.
So I would flick my diary forward like a month or 2 months, and I'd like write some things that were bothering me at that present time. And then it was like a message to myself, like, hey, are you still worried about this? Or this is what's going on right now. And then 2 months' time when I'd read it, I'd be like, no, that wasn't even a thing. But in that moment, yeah, that was really clouding my mind, or I was quite upset about it, or it was something that I was, you know, stressing about, or something that I was really interested in, and it just turned out to be a fad, yeah, and I was over quite quickly. But that's a good way, is that there's, I guess, some of our goals that we set last year, until we repeated them, some of them I'd actually forgotten that I'd set them.
Yeah,
so when we read them out, I was like, oh, I actually achieved that. That's awesome. So
yeah,
I guess if you can reference back to it, and I guess that's another way to important to write it down, is that you can be like, okay, I'm on the way to achieving this one. Maybe I need to pick up the slack with this one, or
yeah. Whatever. Good to reevaluate. We did also actually say we wanted to do a barista course, and we didn't do that, but there's always this year.
Yeah, I think we get by with the coffee that we make each morning.
But we've got some good skills already.
It could be a lot better, yeah.
So I guess, do you have any goals leading into this year that aren't around training or race performance?
I do. I'm really looking forward to being able to travel. And that one's a little bit out of our control, but we really just, like, that's, I mean, for both of us, we're both people that love traveling. I'm like almost fantasizing about getting on a plane and going somewhere.
I don't even like flying, and I'm looking forward to getting on a plane.
I liked it. There was something quite cathartic for me about sitting on a plane and mucking around on my laptop. And that was when I did like a lot of my best writing, was when I was kind of stuck on a plane because you had no Wi-Fi, you had no escape. And that was when I just really got a lot of stuff done. But yeah, I guess traveling is a big one, but really want to work on the mindfulness kind of things for me, and actually really spend a lot of time meditating and really working on that part. People have been telling me I need to do it for my whole life, and I neglect that part, but I think it's really important.
I'm going to get you more into yoga. I can feel it.
Yeah, I'm not against it. I think the cycling goals that I've set are kind of sporadically throughout the year, but I think once I achieve one of those, then I'm going to kind of transition to a couple other things that I've got in the pipeline, and then, you know, pursue that for a while, and then come back towards cycling and things like that, especially if we have a long winter.
Yeah.
Winter Perth style. But it's not for me.
I think one of our shared goals, though, is we want to continue to do this pod and hope it continues to thrive. So, you know, everyone, tell your friends.
Yeah. And
tell your family.
Keep giving us ideas.
Yeah.
I really appreciate people who chat to me at the race or on training rides and say that they're enjoying the pod. But give us some ideas as well, because it makes it easier for us.
And thank you to everyone who has, of course, already supplied us with plenty, received loads of feedback. And yeah, it's been a very enjoyable experience. We started off in September 2021, and that definitely wasn't a goal of ours. It was a sudden goal of mine that I got very overly excited about, which I then gently persuaded
credit to you. It was an idea, and then 2 days later there was the pod equipment in what was my room is now the pod room.
So. Yeah, well, it's still your office room, but we just steal it every Sunday to record. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to our pod. Please subscribe and give us a follow on Instagram. It's vela.diaries. And give us a like on Facebook.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in for the past first season, I guess. Yeah. And hopefully we have another big season 2. And yeah, like we said, send in the questions. And
and also send us in any of your goals.
And we'd love to hear when you achieve them.
Definitely. And we could even include that as a little section in our... in one of our episodes, so we can do a little, you know, listener goal and how you're achieving it and what you're doing to achieve it.
It's really motivating for me as well, not only you know, obviously to achieve your own goals, but to hear you know, friends of mine and stuff like that setting theirs and achieving them. That's nice for us to hear, and it makes our day. So
definitely. Well, we have a very special episode coming up next week, so we won't see you. You will hear us then. Bye.
Bye.